two first place teams, Bucks and Ravens from the Baltimore Banner, joins us every Friday. Let's welcome back to the show, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, what's up?
Morning, Bill. How's it going?
All right. You may be wrong, you may be right, but we're going to listen either way as we talk about Baltimore and Tampa Bay, and in particular, Lamar Jackson. I know he mentioned it yesterday, Jonas, talking about MV3. Make sure I pronounce this correctly. And he's kind of dismissing it, doesn't want to hear the noise, if you will, because he has two, obviously. But at this stage of his career, we've talked about it, you've written about it, the fans know it, and I guess most importantly, Lamar knows it. They could win their next 10 games. He could have a quarterback rating of 120 in every one of them, unanimously win that third most valuable player, unless they get to the Super Bowl and eventually win it. Is it to nothing else matters time for him? Other than the ring?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously, he is a man of God. He's very religious, so I think he's grounded in that way. And, you know, I think he's obviously prioritizing his health. So it's not like he's only focused on winning, only focused on the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I think he recognizes the consequences. I think he realizes what's at stake. And now we just have to deal with, assuming this train keeps on moving, just how to ask the exact same questions, like, you know, what, 10 weeks in a row now until we get to the playoffs, to figure out new and interesting ways to write about it. Because, I mean, you know, there are still going to be Lamar haters out there who, even if Lamar wins his third MVP, even if he throws for, you know, 4,000 yards, rushes for 1,000 yards, there's still going to be people out there saying that he can't do it or it doesn't matter until he gets the playoffs, or, you know, just wait until this or that happens. So it's a shame that people can't just enjoy what they have right here in front of them. But, you know, that's kind of the rings culture that you see in the NBA. It's, you know, folded over into the NFL, where you really are just measured by whether you have a championship. And obviously with Patrick Mahomes in this conference, it is not an easy thing to do.
Hey, Jonas, I'm expecting to see a little bit more of what Dean Pease's contributions are going to be on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had a better sense. I think we probably will have a better idea of what exactly those contributions are from the Commanders game, because, you know, we asked John about it yesterday. He said that, you know, he was up in the booth, but he didn't really get into detail beyond just saying that, you know, sometimes it's nice to have wise counsel. So, you know, we're going to talk to Zach Orr in a couple hours. We'll be able to get his thoughts on what exactly those conversations were during the game on Sunday. But this is a really, you know, good Tampa Bay passing offense. I think, you know, when Baker is not pressured, he's pretty much as efficient as any quarterback out there. And you've got to worry about the sideline shots to Mike Evans. You've definitely got to worry about the over-the-middle stuff to Chris Godwin. And the offensive line might be a little bit better than I think it was at the start of the season with them finally getting some health back. So, you know, obviously, I think there's probably not ever going to be a lot of clarity until we talk to Dean Pease about what exactly he's doing or how he's helping or how much they needed him to turn things around. But hopefully we know a little bit more in a couple hours.
Yeah, there's two things I think defensively that need, you know, improvement because it's been going on too long. Number one is the communication, because it still sucked, especially in the red zone last week against Washington. I mean, you still I don't want to see guys anymore, like, with their arms up in the air, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, that drives me crazy. And then Marcus Williams, they got to get the light to turn on for him, because he stinks right now. It's like he doesn't even want to hit anybody.
Yeah, but I haven't looked at the stats.
Just look at the tape. You don't need to look at the stats.
No, I'm just saying, like, I remember when the Ravens were going into that game against the 49ers last year, you know, like, the Ravens, the 49ers were the best team in the NFL when they put guys in motion before the snap, and the Ravens were the best defense in the NFL when the opposing offense put guys in motion. And I feel like if I were to go up and look that setup right now, I don't think the Ravens would be even in the top 20 at this point in terms of, like, how well especially that passing offense is doing when teams, you know, get funky before a snap, because for whatever reason, even though there has been extreme continuity there in that back end, you know, starting there with Roquan being the defensive signal caller, they just have not been able to pass off those assignments correctly. And you know, as you saw, I mean, then you even look at the play on the Travis Jones sack, you know, in the red zone. Like, that is Marcus Williams yelling at guys. There's, you know, McLaurin, whoever it is, just, you know, is open for a corner route, but Jaden Daniels doesn't see him because Travis Jones is all up in his grill.
Yeah, those are some of the issues. And I think that Ngakoue, because I think it's taken him some time, because he's got to get in shape. You know, he hadn't done a lot in the offseason. So once he gets his legs back, because it looks like, you know, he's getting a little more juice. I thought he had like three pretty good, you know, rushes on the quarterback, and he had, what, 14 snaps? I expect him to be around 20 snaps this week. And just because I'm guessing that Tampa's going to be throwing it a lot, and kind of anticipating that he's going to get himself another sack in Ngakoue.
Oh, big prediction. Yeah, I mean, I guess the nice thing about you know, feeling more confident in throwing Ngakoue out there is, you know, obviously he's not going to set the edge like Tavius Robinson or Dafe Owe, and that was definitely the concern when he was playing under Wink Martindale, especially late in that season in 2020 or whatever it was. But this is the Tampa Bay offense that, you know, passes at one of the highest rates in the NFL, especially on early downs. So even though they ran wild against the Saints, I think we saw last night, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. And you can feel better about him if you really want that pass rush juice, because, you know, the chances are that he's going to be getting a drop back and not a, you know, a counter or, you know, outside zone or inside zone headed his way. And I think that's definitely an asset in a situation like this. And then it was great to see him bring back what would be the cross chop, you know, that pass rush move that he made his specialty, you know, over all those years in Jacksonville. It's still getting some of these tackles who don't know how to handle him, you know, kind of faking inside and then going outside. And I mean, you know, when you have been around the league as long as he has, and you know how to, you know, get the fundamentals of that right and just work, you know how to kind of hit guys with that okie doke, it's still going to work if you are kind of all systems firing.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Jonas, last thing for you. With Tampa looming on Monday, not an easy game, obviously. Then you have three division games in your next four, Cincinnati, then Denver, and then Cincy again, and then Cleveland, rather, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. By the time they get to the Chargers after heading into Thanksgiving, is the AFC North going to be kind of in their grasp to lose?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I haven't looked too much.
Get that crystal ball ready.
Yeah, I think the Ravens will drop like one game by that Chargers game. I haven't really decided where. I do think that they're going to win these next two kind of comfortably. And then obviously, you know, the Pittsburgh situation is always just impossible to predict because of how Lamar plays against them. But I don't think it will be wrapped up. But I think the Ravens should have at least, you know, a game or two lead against the Steelers. Like I said, I don't think the Steelers have an especially challenging schedule over the rest of the way, just like the Ravens don't have an especially challenging schedule the rest of the way. So it's tough for me to say that the Ravens will definitely have it wrapped up. But, I mean, listen, if they win every game until the bye week, it's going to be hard for anyone to catch them.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Tampa. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jonas.
Jonas Schaefer, everybody. Ravens 3.5-point favorites at the Bucs. We'll talk more about that as the day progresses into Monday, obviously. But coming back, whip around. Tons going on. World sports last night. We'll get into it. And then Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Talk about Maryland's matchup with USC tomorrow down at College Park. 4 o'clock kickoff. You can hear it on the Fan. And basketball about to tip off. Kevin Willard. Hey, disappointing year last year. Remade the roster for the most part. Can they throw the ball in the basket? That's going to be key. Let's talk about that with Keith.
Vinny and Hades Whip. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this featured artist Friday, it's Billy Joel, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. We'll talk to Bob Nightingale later in the show about the baseball playoffs. But boy, if you missed it last night in Cleveland, looked like Cleveland was going to win. Then it looked like they were going to lose. And then they walk it off. And one of the big blows, the big blow in the end, was from an all-star, David Fry.
Game three. Fry, deep drive, Fry. Left field. Fry's watching. Fry. It is a walk-off. sets up the Cleveland Knight.
Two-run homer, TBS on the call. Yankees were down 5-3. Four to three.
4-3.
Then Judge hits a homer off of Class A, ties it. Then Stanton goes back-to-back. Emmanuel Class A had given up two homers the entire season, and he's given up three in the postseason back-to-back last night. Then it looked like the Yankees were going to walk away. They tacked on another run, Gleyber Torres, and then Noel hits a two-run jack off of Luke Weaver, and then, as you heard, David Fry, two-run walk-off off of Clay Holmes, the former closer for them. So 7-5. Jimenez's play in the 10th inning to rob Jazz Chisholm of a base hit, which would have scored a run.
He's made a lot of good plays.
Yeah, well, he's a Gold Glove winner. What a hell of a play there. So the best game so far of the playoffs. Yankees still lead the series 2-1 in game four, coming up tonight at 8:08. But what a game in L.A., however, or in New York, L.A. taking on the Mets. Shohei Ohtani, he got things rolling, and then Mookie Betts said, hey, you think that was good? Why do you see this one?
Mookie Betts sends a high fly ball to deep left field. Nimmo's going back at the wall. It's gone. Mookie Betts goes deep. The Dodgers have broken it open.
FS1 on the call, 10-2. Final score, Mookie Betts, four ribbies last night, 4-for-6. Ohtani hits a homer in the first inning. Tommy Edman had three ribbies, too. How about that? And contributions from everyone involved. In the three Dodger wins, and they're up 3-1, they've outscored the Mets 27-2.
Seems like the Mets have kind of run out of the mojo.
Yeah. And Jack Flaherty, former Oriole, trying to close him out because he got it started with that brilliant performance of Game 1. Evan Phillips, former Oriole. Nolan, you remember him, right? He pitched 18, 19, 20. He was in the suckage years of Oriole baseball.
Yeah. No, good to see him make it out and survive.
Yeah, and
not a lot of people did.
Yeah, he's got two wins, and he's got the opportunity to get to the World Series. So that's going on in the Championship Series, Major League Baseball. Again, we'll talk to Bob Nightingale about that later in the program. Hockey last night, Caps beat the Dallas Stars, previously undefeated Stars. 3-2, Capitals put three on the board in the second period. That's back-to-back wins for Washington.
Yeah, against two of the best teams in the West in Vegas and Dallas. And the nice part is, and we talked to Locker yesterday, Ovi's playing really good, Bob. And, two nights ago against Vegas, he had two assists. Last night, no points, but he played well. He's skating well. So, and Strome's playing really good for the Caps right now. I think he scored in the last couple games, but Strome's playing well and Ovi playing well, and they've got some more speed on their team right now, which helps them.
Yeah, at New Jersey Saturday night for Washington. Tom Wilson got himself a goal. Radish got one.
Back to back.
Yeah, so they're it's only a couple games into the season, but start the year at home, three games. You win two of them, as you said, against two of the better teams in the West. Now we'll see a little New Jersey medal. Because remember, the Devils beat him in the opener.
Yeah, and Locker said that was not a pretty game for the Caps.
And we'll talk about this subject with Keith Kavanaugh coming up here in a couple of minutes. But Tony Bennett retires abruptly. Head coach, University of Virginia basketball. 2019 national champions. 6 ACC regular season championships. 10 NCAA appearances. Just signed a two-year contract extension in June. And all of a sudden, he bounces. And not health-related.
So something happened.
According to Virginia, maybe he just decided I've had enough of this. But then again, if he had enough, and there were hints apparently in March and April that he was done. But if you're done, you're done. And then you're deep into practice. You're 3 weeks away from tip-off.
Yeah.
Why? Why now?
Something will come out eventually, what the reasons
are. Well, hopefully, there's no drama, controversy, or any sort of salacious nonsense. He just was like, I believe this, I'm done.
Yeah.
Which would be unfair to his kids, by the way.
Right. You know, like when Saban came out, tired of the NIL, tired of...
But he did it immediately, basically.
That's true.
I mean, Bennett's doing it 3 weeks before the season starts, so we'll see about that. But also, remember, Tony Bennett, Virginia number one seed when they lost to UMBC. The first number one seed to ever lose to a number 16, so... I'm sure Retriever fans and sports fans in general remember that one. It's Vinny and Haiti and will forever. Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around this day in sports history real quick. October the 18th already? What?
Yeah.
What? 1977, Yankee Stadium. Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs, 3 pitches. Bert Hooten, Elias Sosa, Charlie Huff, as the Yankees beat the Dodgers 8-4, win the World Series in 6 games, 4-2. And after Reggie hit his last homer, which was a bomb off of Charlie Huff, that knuckleball, Steve Garvey was applauding as he ran around first base. I mean, even Steve Garvey was like, hey, we're about to lose the World Series, but what I'm watching is pretty badass right here. So Reggie Jackson did that 40-whatever years ago. And then 4 years ago, 2020, at Philadelphia, Ravens beat the Eagles 30-28. Lamar Jackson throws a touchdown pass to Nick Boyle, rushes for another one. Justin Tucker kicks 3 field goals. As the Ravens, Gus Bus ran for a TD, Ravens edge, Carson Wentz and the Eagles 30-28. That was 4 years ago today. We'll come back, talk about what happened in College Park. Keith Kavanaugh, basketball about to start. Football tomorrow against USC. Dire straits. Are we there yet? I'd say 3-3, 0-3 in the league. Blown out as 10.5 point favorites by a team that's not that good. And then your other loss, Indiana, understandable. Hung in that game,
yeah.
But the Michigan State debacle. All right, Keith will explain it all when we come back. It's Featured Artist Friday. It's Billy Joel. Let's jam. He's Keith Kavanaugh. Keith, what's up? You're an Irish Catholic like myself. Vinny grew up in a Catholic school. We love that Billy Joel, right?
I'm telling you, and you burst my bubble. I was just about to say, you better be playing piano, man, next. You're not a fan, Bob. Come on.
I like Billy Joel. We're just not playing songs that I like from Bill. Hey, look, the Beatles have a ton of songs I think suck, but they've got 5 bazillion songs. So even not the Van Halen from Roth, they have no bad songs. But Van Hagar, oh, my God, pick one. But let's not talk about music right now.
Decaf.
We're going to agitate people.
Come on now.
The Tony Bennett retirement, whatever it's called, I guess retirement, technically, and I know they had set up a home and home in Maryland, which I believe starts next year, but on the stun meter, Keith Kavanaugh, this would kind of come out of nowhere, I guess, huh?
Well, probably Jay Wright 2.0. He almost stepped down this spring. I think he did it on the eve of the season, like the literal eve of the season, a week or so away from these teams cranking it up, so his assistant, probably Willerford, can get it. At least in the interim, if not in the long term. That might have been an inside job there, but probably similar things, fed up with the madness, the NIL, the portal. And he's been putting together a great recruiting class. And Willerford was the main recruiter for Cam Ward, who had been leaning, a local guy, had been leaning to Virginia, them or Michigan State. So he probably wanted to keep it in-house. Did it at the last second. I'm sure the AD wasn't too happy.
Now, for Maryland Basketball Media Day a couple of days ago, they got one vote, Keith, as you know, in the Associated Press Top 25. They've remade the roster, which is great. But shooting the basketball, major problem for them last season. How much have they improved in that area?
Well, first, Bob, some good news. But this is highly secret squirrel-type stuff. So it's just you and me, Vinny, and Nolan listening right now, right?
And Billy Joel.
No one else can know. So they're super squirrel secret scrimmage against Georgetown last weekend, which you're not allowed to keep stats on. You're not allowed to publicize. It has to be down in the basement and no one can see. Albeit, the Terps did lose by 4, but Derek Queen, 24-7, 24.7 rebounds, a freshman, much ballyhooed center. Miguel and Gillespie were the standouts. Willard's not even allowed to coach it. The assistant coach, they did massive, it was a rotational, scrimmage, experimenting, all kind of different lineups. But Malik Mack, the transfer from Harvard, who went to St. John's in D.C., he was the best player on the floor. Unfortunately, he plays for Georgetown. So they're scrimmaging Seton Hall next in their super secret squirrel. Nobody can know anything about it, even what uniforms they wear, in their next and final one before the November 4th tip-off. But, you got a lot of shooters. You've got such a cerebral big in Queen, who's got great hands, great feet, can really pass well out of the box. So when they're doubling down now, because Maryland has two front court impact type guys, instead of just Juju doing it all, the kickouts to these shooters, particularly Gillespie, Miguel, Rodney Rice, Young, all these guys, and Chance Stevens, who's all the way back from the knee, should be really nice. And yeah, last year they hit one more three in eight games, you know, or whatever, one or two threes, and they win those games. So, you know, they were very, very close despite such poor average from the arc.
Keith, I think tomorrow's game, the football game, I think it's critical, because you know what we're going to find out tomorrow, Keith? Because hopefully they can win. But if they were to get blown out, we're going to find out the players shut it down. And that is never good, that they basically, you know, with the coaching staff, they don't believe in them anymore. So, what are you hearing?
Well, you know, it seems like the sidelines kind of shut it down against Indiana, waving the white flag late. It seems like there's a disconnect right now. Obviously, when you're a 10.5-point favorite, you're coming off a bye week, you're playing an academic school where Bob Haney couldn't name one player on the Northwestern roster before the game, nor could
Pat Fitzgerald,
probably.
And none of us could have gotten in.
No, you know, and a team that almost 2 years ago was thinking about disbanding football, and a team that plays its game at a soccer stadium. And you get pummeled at home when it's probably represents the last winnable game on the schedule. Now, albeit Rutgers' offense is totally tanked, so they may have a shot there. But Southern Cal, think about it. They beat LSU. They have the toughest schedule in the country. They've been maligned a little bit for the Minnesota loss, but they've lost to top 10 Penn State and Michigan only by field goals. You know, Moss and Marks are just going to carve Maryland up, the defense up. And we got this inner turmoil now with Loxley taking over the play calling. I'm surprised he admitted he did the play calling for the last game afterwards. And other angst on the offensive line, special teams was horrific. So, when you get outplayed, it's one thing. Outcoached, layered on top of that, not good. But out-physicaled and out-toughed by an academic school who football almost, you know, hit the bricks on after that scandal. And, you know, they had no answers to them. But it looked like they checked out, you know, midway through that game, if not earlier. So USC is very formidable despite their 500 record, and they're playing, you know, obviously the cross-country flight is going to be tough. It's proving tough for most teams. Penn State, you know, had struggles last week out there at SC, but they got athletes galore, and, you know, the Maryland offensive line, look for some changes there as well, continues to crumble, unfortunately.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Before we hit the break, because clock integrity, very important here at 105.7.
Yeah, you got me a late start today.
Anything,
my billable hours.
Anything else we need to know about what's going on with the athletic program there with the Terps?
Lady Terps, I'm excited about them. They're ranked 18th in one poll. I guess the men are like 37, 47, whatever, in different polls. But the ladies, obviously, they had a lot of portal strength and shooters, too. I think 18 was the last top 20 poll I saw they were in. So beyond that, hopefully, you know, some 40,000 or so will show up tomorrow. USC has a little bit of DC alumni chapters, so you'll probably see some of their colors out there. But yes, you want the team to show up. You want the team to have some emotion, some passion, and not check out.
All right, Keith Cavanaugh, enjoy your weekend. We'll sing you a song because you're the piano man. Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Vinny Haney, Nolan will come back reset for you. Got news from the Nest coming up at noon. Boy, we have a lot of Harbs and Lamar, Derrick Henry. We have so much sound, your ears are going to bleed here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney, by the way, don't rag on Rat because they're pretty awesome. Nolan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I didn't know I was going to have to be the Billy Joel defender. I'm not even a Billy Joel guy. I mean, I was willing to step aside for the real fans out there and let them enjoy, because, quite frankly, I don't have the most knowledge of Billy Joel. But here I am. I feel obligated to defend him on the show.
Yeah, I was bringing some smoke.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan either.
Vinny's going to double down on it.
Yeah. No, I will say the response from the text line, a lot of people sending song suggestions, of course. But when we made the announcement yesterday, said, who's going to be featured artist? I said, it's Billy Joel. Immediately, a few texts roll in, back to back. One person says, Billy Joel sucks. Next person says, oh my God, I love Billy Joel. Thank God. Back to back, within seconds of each other.
Well, you know, music's all about taste, personal preference, how it moves you in a particular way. There's no right or wrong answer when it comes to music. You like what you like, right, Nolan?
That's right. And if the people vote for it, even if it doesn't win that individual week, for example, we get a Thursday where the votes are flowing and a good variety, I'll write them down. We'll get them in a week or two. So if it doesn't win that week, I haven't forgot about you. I have it written down.
Well, how are you feeling on this Featured Artist Friday, music aside?
Feeling good. Feeling great. The response we're getting from the listeners about potential trades for the Ravens, you have the people that seem fixated on receiver. And I know where you guys stand, and I probably agree with you. But to me, it seems like when people say they want a receiver, what they really mean is they want a name. They want someone who they know who it is.
Well, our man from Detroit, Super Rashide, wants a Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He doesn't want a receiver. He wants a Hall of Fame receiver. And are the picking slim? If Adams is gone, Cooper's gone, who else could be on the move in theory if the Ravens were looking to upgrade that position? And what are they willing to sacrifice to do so?
Right. That's the thing. It's limited availability, if any availability at all. And you are going to have to pay a pretty hefty price to get someone like that.
Wasn't there some early week Stephon Diggs stuff? But given the injuries in Houston, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, why would they part with him? Yeah. They made such a big deal to bring him in the first place.
Sure.
And it's only 6 weeks.
How about you know, a trade that could make a lot of sense? Bring Clowney back.
Yeah, because Carolina
sucks.
Depending on what the
I don't think
price
he's making,
be.
You know, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, the contract would work. Yeah. Yeah, the contract would work, but draft capital-wise.
Well, how many picks do they have for next year? 11.
Well, that's simply almost too many for a team like the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, a team that, you know, expects to be in a Super Bowl, the chances of those 11? Well, how many? I mean, you look at the Ravens draft picks right now, there's only three that are playing, and or the safeties just playing special
teams. Well, just last year, how many? You're already gone. Salah's gone. Who else got cunted from last year?
Oh, Blue Kelly.
Was the corner, wasn't there?
Yeah, Caillou Kelly. He didn't even make it at training camp. And if you have 11 of those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Clowney coming back, I think I'd be cool with it. I would think he'd be extremely cool with it.
I think his teammates, I'm guessing he was probably pretty good in the locker room.
Yeah, make it happen. Eric DaCosta, if you're listening.
They're still pretty bolstered from, I can't remember the year, but what was the year they had like a gajillion picks in the fourth round where they took Falele
Pepe
tight ends.
Part of that.
Yep. Yeah, they had a ton of picks that year. A lot of those guys still sticking around taking up spots.
Armour Davis is part of that crew. Yeah, good point. Nolan McGraw, as always. Do we have time to get to the fun house?
Yeah, let's do a few.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness, Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says, just like the second half of last season, the only thing that's going to stop or slow down this Ravens offense is themselves. They've had an unguardable offense three times now since 2019. They have to finally get over the hump, make it count in January.
And I think they're offensively, like in 19, they had an efficient passing game, but it couldn't hold up in the playoffs. And they made him throw the football, and that didn't go well. So I think they're built extremely well offensively for a deep playoff run. Because you got Henry sitting back there, you're going to run the football.
Another one here, texter talking about trades, says, I'd say they should trade for some secondary depth, but I feel like there's some options in-house that haven't even been explored yet. What's going on with TJ Tampa, for example?
Yeah, and TJ Tampa, I know they like him. And I like him too. He's got length. He's got ball skills. He'll hit. He just doesn't have – he's 4'5", 2". So he doesn't have great catch-up speed. somebody should ask Harbs when he talks again is, are you working him any at safety? Because I think he did end up being an excellent safety because he's got great awareness, great ball skills. You know, that's what Geno Stone had, but this kid's a lot better.
But he was a little slow. That's why he fell to the fourth round.
Yeah.
And one more here, talking Terps football. This texter says, remember when Maryland beat Texas in back-to-back seasons? When was that? 1951? No, it was just 6 or 7 years ago. Now look at where both programs are. Things change quickly.
Oh, they got rid of Tom Herman. I think losing to Maryland back-to-back years helped grease the skids there. Look, I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,001. I'm 59 years old. I hate to admit it, but it is what it is. I can't lie about my age. Maryland has never competed for a national championship in football as long as I've walked the face of the planet. And the closest they came was 76 when they were undefeated 11-0, having to be the 1 year between 61 and whatever. They didn't play Penn State and then wound up losing to Houston. That's as close as they got. They've had really good teams. Bobby Claiborne had great teams. Bobby Ross had good teams. Fridge had some strong teams in the early 2000s. But, I mean, that's, we've seen the, well, it's been a while for the Orioles, but we've seen the Ravens win 2 Super Bowls this century. Maryland's won a national championship in both men's and women's basketball. We've had Baltimore guys win championships in boxing. I mean, Maryland football is the one outlier when it comes to sniffing titles. And, you know, Texas number one in the country. Favorite over Georgia. Yeah. Maryland 7-point dogs at home against USC. Read the papers. Read the papers, as Connie Corleone said back at The Godfather. Get the reference. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, hear from the Ravens, news from the Nest, style buy or sell. Where's our weekend dough? Hopefully counting that in a few. Bob Nightingale talks about the baseball championship series. Yankees get stunned. Dodgers are stunning the Mets. And then we got Vinny's keys to victory coming up at 12:45. We'll do it again on Monday. But the Ravens going to Tampa as favorites. How are they going to maintain that advantage?